8 is the song for the day. Right? What a downer. I mean, if you're really feeling blue, do not read that one. Skip right over it. Go someplace else. Sometimes I wonder why some of them are in there, except for us to know that the psalmists, the different psalmists, are being real.
That's right.
And they're being honest with God. But it's not one to start praise and worship with, so going right on to tomorrow's psalm, Psalm 89, and we see in verses 1 through 4, God's covenant love. And then in verses 5 through 18, it talks about his worthiness and how we can praise him. And 19 through 37, it talks about God's covenant with David. 38 through 52 takes a little different turn. And the psalmist is saying, God, have you neglected us? Have you forgotten us? Have you forgotten your covenant with your people? And then verse 38 starts Ethan's, that's the psalmist, that's the one who wrote it. It starts his lament. And then 38 to 46 is his lament, and then it goes into his consternation. But the neat thing is, the last verse tells us what he really believes about God. And that shows us who this psalmist is. And inside, that's who we are. After we stop the complaining, and we start thinking on him and talking on him and fixing our heart back on him, all of a sudden something happens and we get that hope back. And it's called the doxology. So that last verse is called the doxology. So I'm going to say the first verse, and I've told you what's in the psalm, and then I'm going to say the last verse. So the first verse says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. It starts with a positive comment about God, what he's done, and what he thinks about us and who he is. He ends the psalm after he said all this stuff. He says, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen. And he repeats it. Amen. I love it. I love, if you look at the whole thing and you think about your own prayer life, it's a pattern for, it can be a pattern for our prayer life. We tell God how great he is, we tell him how wonderful he is, and then all of a sudden we start, some of this junk starts coming because we get honest with him. We let him know who we are. That's very important, and it's important in these last days for us to let God know who we are. It's not just knowing who he is, but letting our emotions and letting our innermost thoughts, our innermost beings, be unveiled before him, and then he ministers hope to us. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Sing means to walk around singing. Not just sing a song during church, but let it be a song in your heart all day and just walk around singing. And he says, I will sing of the mercies. I'll sing about your kindness, your beauty, your favor, your loving kindness to me, your mercy, and wow. Amen. That's what I want to sing about. I want to sing about how good he is to me, because when I do, it raises my eyes. My eyes are fixed on him and off of myself. Amen. And then he says, I will sing of thy faithfulness, his firmness, his security, his moral fidelity, his stability, and his steadiness. Am I all those things? Not always. Not always steady, not always so secure. No, but I find my security, that which I don't have, I find that security in him. Amen. And then, bless, in the last verse, he says, blessed be the Lord. It means to praise him, to kneel down in an act of adoration, to congratulate him and salute him, and to be oh so filled with thanks toward him.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's stand and let's say these two verses, the first verse and the last verse, and let this be a pattern for our prayers to him. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen.
And amen.